Thank you for joining us. My name is Tara Lou Austin.
And I'm Sister Claire Joseph Meyer.
And this is That's What She Said. So today we're looking at the election and what are students saying about the election and some of our personal, I suppose, responses or reactions to what did, didn't, should not have happened. I don't know if I really want to get into what should not have happened, but more what actually happened. We're staying with the facts here.
That's right. It's a good thing to do.
With a little bit of theological input on that. So what are your students saying?
Yeah. So the, even approaching the week of the, you know, U.S. presidential election, right? To be totally clear what we're talking about. what other election?
The election in China. Really? Yes, we're very enthralled.
We're, you know, very cosmopolitan.
Are we?
You're right. We're not. leading into that week, there was so much apprehension, right? Because the whole year has been draining and exhausting and stressful. And so here we come into this election, which happens to be draining and stressful and exhausting. And so trying to even just prepare for the fact that Tuesday night, please don't expect results, right? This is unprecedented, all these mail-in ballots. So when I checked in with the students the week following, so this would have been the Sunday after election day.
Okay.
They were just like, A, there hasn't been a lot of time or space to process the experience this week, right? It has sort of been experiencing it in the background of classes and work and everything else going on. And so needing that space to just be like, okay, almost a full week later, where are we at? What is going on?
True. And now it's been 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because today is what, the 19th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's
in the election. Substantially later.
Yeah.
And we still don't have certified election results from the federal level, right?
No, we don't.
We have a very clear projection from the AP, which has historically never been, I mean, not never been challenged, but like lots of references to the year 2000, which was very different than this year.
that's why we do what we do now, because of that.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because of that year.
That's right.
That year changed everything.
And having these reassurances from the cybersecurity, I mean, the elections officials, the federal cybersecurity team, right? Mm-hmm. Who then the director just was fired by yes. President Trump this past week for basically denying President Trump's allegations of widespread voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, right, in this unprecedented time. And interestingly, the students have less to say about all of that than watching those votes roll in, right? So regardless of the clear winner in terms of the election, watching how deeply divided this nation is, had a more powerful impact. It feels like, at least viscerally or emotionally, than watching this battle, if you will, play out between Biden and Trump.
That's an interesting point. I've asked my students, like, what are their thoughts? And I think there is just this overwhelming sensation that they haven't really processed it.
Yeah.
That there isn't anything new, almost, where it's like, what are your thoughts? And they're just like, today's Tuesday. You know, it's like another thing, another aspect that you would have thought would have just been procedural.
Yeah.
And there's room for chaos. And so processing that on many levels is just overwhelming. And I don't know if people have enough brain power anymore, because they are students. So there is the whole get your work done. What I found interesting too was the university's response to the election, understanding that people may be stressed out. Really remember, like, going into the elections, like, oh, midterms, elections, you know, make sure self-care and mental illness. And I was, the 2000 was the first year that I got to vote. I didn't get any of that. It was just kind of like, yeah, the elections are happening. Yay, get excited, but then, you know, move on, right? But understanding how draining 2020 has been and how this election could have just been more excrement on the excrement cake.
Well, and again, the level, like what felt for so many people in terms of the stakes of this election, I think is different than the historical stakes we have felt in the past, in the sense that there's so much both. Well, I mean, for how it's different for different sides, right? What's rhetoric that's true and what's rhetoric that's fear mongering and false. But certainly both sides of the political campaign really ramped up the fear factor of what would happen if their opponent was elected.
Yeah.
And so I think that the mental health piece of this, right, in terms of please be careful to take care of yourself in approaching this election, I think some people didn't need feel the need for that. Right. Yeah. And other people are like, I'm really freaked out about what could come out of this.
I agree. There was one student in particular, though, whose response, this is prior to voting.
Yeah.
Just really was unexpected. He said, I'm not voting. I said, what? I said, like, come again. I'm not voting. He said, I got it in the mail, but I'm not going to vote. And I took a pause. I said, now, why is that? And he said, because it doesn't matter. He said, it doesn't matter to me. They're not voting my interests. And it doesn't matter at this level who is in that seat. So, you know, he didn't see the significance of voting. And I thought about that. What I thought about was why I vote. I'm being African-American. I remember even suggesting that I might not vote one year. My parents were like, no, people literally died so that you could have the opportunity to vote. And so there's always been that understanding. So I'm not voting for me. Like, I have a whole legacy, a whole ancestry that's like looking over my shoulder going like, no, not that one, this one. And so that's what I thought. And not even thinking that other people don't have that association with voting. I mean, like, obviously, yes, but then no.
Yeah.
And he would identify as Mexican American. And so that's like a whole different history with not only America, but what does it mean to vote? And so it was just an eye opener. So, but at the same time, I told him, my dad told me, when people complain about what is happening or not happening, it's like, did you vote? No. Did you vote for any office, like representative in your state, your council person? Nope. Do you go out and hand out flyers or pamphlets or information? Are you supported in an organization that at least heralds your cause that you're interested in? Nope. Okay, then don't talk to me. It's like, are you engaged on any level to affect change? And if that's not happening, why are you complaining? And it's so okay, you didn't vote, but how are you participating in the process? And if the answer is, well, not at all, okie dokie.
And that's part of it, right? Because voting is one aspect of civic engagement overall. And I think certainly looking at my own history, I think there was a lot of emphasis on voting, but I didn't feel very well equipped in the broader like civic engagement field, right? So even after we've elected representatives, senators, presidents, city council, right? How do we keep them accountable? Because their electoral responsibility is to represent the people of that area. So if it's Oregon, it's Oregon. If it's Washington, it's Washington. But how do they know what we want? Well, they will respond to what they hear. And so that question that you're asking of like, not only are we playing a role in electing, if that is a right that we have, but then how do we hold people accountable? What are our messages to say? And this is where I think for a lot of people, or at least speaking to my own experience, watching the presidential election play out, is there was a part of me that deeply, like the fantasy part of me, right, yearned that there would be this sharp repudiation of Trump's administration via the vote. That clearly did not come to pass. As the, even though I would say Biden clearly won the popular vote by a wide margin, is relative, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the country is almost halvesies in terms of who showed up to vote.
Halvesies. You got halvesies.
Right. And there was this part of me that felt like it should expect that, but I've been like, fight your inner cynicism, Trump, it felt so clear that this past 4-year administration has egregiously eroded any shared sense of what we expect from the highest office in the land in mm-hmm. terms of behavior, in terms of communication and language, in terms of behavior from the president, that I was like, America's not going to stand for this. I know. But
side eye.
I know.
The point that you do raise, though.
You're like the one good thing.
No. What you hit on, the moral component, Van Jones stated similar expectations, right? Yeah. That this would be a moral victory.
Yeah.
That people would say, that's not how we want our country to go. And I forget the person who commented on it or basically summarized Van Jones's sentiments. But he said it's not about moral victory. At the end of the day, it's who won, who got the most votes, who won. And it doesn't matter the margin. It doesn't matter if it was one vote or 1,500. It's, hey, I got most and let's move on.
Yeah.
The moral victory that people are expecting is not going to come for the most part, because when you think about it, the other side, whatever you voted, whether it been blue or red, the other side is thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to, I guess, quantify or even qualify what is and isn't moral. Usually the public says what is and isn't, right? If you don't have a religious tenet that you're referring to. So secularly, society decides what is moral and what is amoral, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have such a stark distinction between the two, or if you have the people saying the same thing, but how it's acted out is different, then it's, well, who's right? And you can't really see clearly what the people believe. I don't know.
Well, and that's such a big part of it, because it circles back around to, like I said, the students that I've engaged are much more honed in on that divide in the nation mm-hmm. than how things are proceeding with, President Trump refusing to concede and these sorts of things. those parts.
Irrelevant.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, let's hold that bracket. But I understand, right? Because there is this much, it's a layered issue that we're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. There is what's going on the federal level that is important and an issue and should be discussed. And I think part of what I was realizing in my little womp womp, right? Watching these, it was a much more emotional womp womp than that. Watching these results roll in is I don't think we are living on the same planet in terms of the realities that we live in. I mean, this kind of divide, which feels to, I hate saying both sides. I'm sure there are multiple, right? You could be anywhere. It's not literally black and white.
With the spectrum, right?
There's a spectrum.
Uh-huh.
But for simplicity, sure. Right? If you're really excited about Biden or you're really excited about Trump, right? One of those two, let's say. that truly, I feel like the information sources we have, the communities in which we're conversing and are building our reality, it really does feel like, particularly in the past 4 years, maybe longer, and then maybe intensified in 2020 because of the isolation, the silos of reality that we've built ourselves, into are totally different. Mm-hmm. And so it feels very stark as I'm looking at this, mm-hmm. right? These two opponents, what they represent to me, what America I want to be a part of and be a part of building, and realizing that it seems so clear to me, but I could be next to somebody who's really excited about Trump. And we're not watching the same movie. You know what I mean? we're just trying to talk about this movie, and they're watching I don't know, Die Hard, and I'm watching Pride and Prejudice, and we're like, what did you think about this scene? And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, that is not how it went down. He jumped out the window, right?
Yippee ki yay.
That's right. That's what it feels like to me.
I get that. I do. I'm going to share this, and then hopefully it'll come to a point.
See where this goes.
I have an acquaintance who assumed that I was going to vote Republican. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah, I assume you're conservative. And I said, oh, so, well, I'm not Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, but his assumption was based on the fact that I'm a minister. And so automatically I'm going to vote a certain way. I must. Listening to and having discussions with people who are not so much Christian, but conservative, they don't see voting for Biden. And it's not so much voting for Trump. It's voting for life, being pro-life, is voting for banning same-sex marriages or LGBTQ marriages. It's banning some other initiatives that they think are part of the Democratic platform. No to socialism, no to open borders, like just no. And it borders on a lot of times, of course, it doesn't border, but it's like homophobia, xenophobia, racism. You know, it's like there are these things. But for them, they don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. If you come from a very stringent background in faith, it's not even just Christian, but you have a faith background, and you're seeing what the country is doing in ways of like these initiatives, and you're like, no. So again, like some people definitely are voting for Trump, mm-hmm. but by and large, they're voting against these Democratic policies or this mm-hmm. liberal agenda, as I've heard it described. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're voting against this. What does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. are you really looking at the theological implications of what you're saying? Because for, I'll just take one as an example, socialism, because that's one that was pointed out. You know, they want to be socialists. They, you know, want you to pay for everything. It's going to come out in your taxes. I wanted to say so badly, but I didn't think it was going to be helpful. Did Jesus charge for miracles? Yeah. I don't remember that. To my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong.
I have a different Bible. I know, right?
Jesus healed.
Well, and that's where I think you're speaking to that sort of point of conflation between national culture, dominant culture, right, and religious tradition, where if you think about Christianity as a global tradition mm-hmm. and where it's taken deep roots in other places in the world, I have a very difficult time imagining these other communities seeing capitalism as intrinsic to gospel. I mean, that would be such a bizarre notion to go to somebody, right, in like a South American country or something and be like, clearly you can see how much Jesus loves capitalism, right? I mean, that would be truly bizarre. And so kind of what, I mean, I can see the connection that might've been made for you of like the, we're watching different movies, right? Is when I think if, you know, somebody is defining what they think Christianity is based on the proverbial movie that they're watching or living in, right? If that's Die Hard and I'm a Christian in Pride and Prejudice, that's going to look really, really different. Mm-hmm. So when we try to communicate across that difference, there are going to be kind of weird rubbing points and assumptions made and how to navigate those conversations well without it immediately feeling like one person invalidating the other person's truth is very challenging, right?
Yes, it is. And validating the other person's truth. It seems to me if we're talking about the gospel, and here's mm-hmm. here's where it becomes like really specific. Like it's not about Biden or Trump mm-hmm. because this election overall was about who considers themselves Christian and who doesn't. Like mm-hmm. for some people, right? Mm-hmm. When the Bible Belt was overwhelmingly red.
Per usual.
Really?
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, it's okay. All right. So if we're talking about truth, mm-hmm. it's not about my truth and your truth, these individual truths that people have.
Right.
If we're talking about the Bible, this Bible, Judeo-Christian Bible, I mean, right? If we're being very specific about what Bible we're using, we see that the Bible doesn't say, oh, there's so many truths going on. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. So it does, in a sense, recognize that people have their own narratives going on. But when it gets down to it, there's only one truth that matters. And so when we engage in this debate about what Jesus would and would not have done, there's an example. Quite honestly, I don't know that Jesus would have necessarily participated in voting. I don't know. Jesus definitely was dismantling the system. We know that. Jesus definitely dismantled the church, the Roman occupation. We see that time and time again. So any system that seeks to uphold an unjust system seems to be counter to the truth when we say the truth is Jesus. And that's it for me.
Well, and that's, I mean, I tend to be very persuaded by that, by a kind of liberation lens mm-hmm. on understanding the gospel, in part because most of dominant and particularly white American Christianity has moved so far from an understanding of the gospel that is about ultimately the hungry being fed, the naked being clothed,
yeah.
right? That the kingdom of God on some intrinsic level means preserving the dignity of those human lives that we are mm-hmm. pro, right? I mean, I feel like almost cliche mm-hmm. battleground between the quote unquote progressive Christians and the yeah. quote unquote conservative Christians. Is this like back and forth of like around such issues as pro-life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, if you're really pro-life, how come you can't support Black Lives Matter? And how come you can't, right?
Yeah.
And this is where I'm not sure where as the church, our communication breakdown has gotten so severe.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I would love is to be able to say, so we both claim this person, Jesus, as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
How did we wind up in such, again, like, are we watching extremely different Jesus movies? Right? Like, I don't know.
Jesus Christ Superstar versus Passion of the Christ.
That's right. And I do think there is a difference between Christian strains or traditions that emphasize Jesus' teaching
mm-hmm.
and those that maybe differently emphasize Jesus' death. Mm-hmm. Because if you're persuaded that Jesus' function in theology is his death and salvation via his death, then there's not a lot of use for his teaching while he was alive.
It does make sense. Yes.
And then I think you have folks who maybe would be labeled more commonly as progressive Christians, right? Who are also simultaneously viewed as more secular,
mm-hmm.
which is fascinating to me.
It's
super fascinating, right? So there's like Christian-y Christians, and then there's the secular Christians.
Christian-y Christians.
I have had people be like, this person is like Christian, but like really, really Christian. And I'm like, what does that mean? Am I like not very Christian? I'm Christian, but just a dash.
You're
just
meh. A light touch. You're a meh Christian.
So we have these really interesting ways that are reinforced on both sides, yeah. right? Where I hear this from progressive Christians of like, well, yeah, I'm Christian, but not like Christian, right? Where you're like, what?
That emphasis though, it needs the air quotes. It totally
does. It does. Right. So anyway, the so-called progressive Christians tend to draw much more out of
mm-hmm.
what did Jesus do while he was alive? What did he teach while he was alive? Who did he eat with while he was alive? I mean, mm-hmm. all of these sort of like, not that his death was irrelevant, not that, you know, this question of cosmic salvation mm-hmm. and his death and resurrection isn't a central part of our theology.
yeah.
And we feel that the call to discipleship is based heavily out of what Jesus modeled for us
mm-hmm.
in addition.
Yes, I agree. I didn't. The weird thing is, I don't know when the labeling happened. Like yeah. growing up, it was just Christian
yeah.
for me
yeah.
in my experience. It was Christian. And then it was like, oh, you're not Christian. Yeah, denominations.
Yeah.
I guess that was the, what kind of Christian are you? Like, oh, you're Baptist, you're Pentecostal, you know that, yeah. but not like liberal, conservative, progressive, yeah. right? Yeah. That distinction did not occur to me. To be honest, I don't think it even became a part of my vocabulary until I was ordained. like, I don't know, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, aren't we all progressing? that was like, aren't we all, you know, like reforming? Like, aren't we all reforming? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Aren't we being changed? Don't we tell, isn't that part of our faith? Lord, change me, renew me, like this constant, like we're not finished. And so to have like, no, they're progressive. No, they're conservative. No, they're moderate. It's like,
we need more boxes for people. I think that's really what's going
on. Is that what it is? Like just more truths. Like
I see your Christian box and I'd like to raise you a conservative Christian box.
Conservative progressive.
Right? Let's box you up even more. Tighter.
It boggles the mind. Yeah. And I wonder if some of that is really not wanting to change.
Sure.
And it's like, that's not the point. My theology, that's not the point. It's that we don't know what's going on. There is discomfort. And God's unchanging hand, that is the stability. It's not us.
Yeah.
Because we're in constant flux. And so when I look at the election, theologically, obviously, that's where we've kind of gotten to, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like red or blue. There's this spiritual battle that's been going on. There's this religious, I say more of a religious battle that has been going on. And because America more or less considers itself a Christian nation, even though people are like, no, we're not. I mean, if we had to choose a religion, it would most likely be Christian, right?
Christianity has certainly has dominance.
Right. I mean, that's factual. Those are the facts. Yeah. And so it seems like that's what the battle has been. It's been about religion and whose religion is more powerful in America. And it's been to the detriment of the gospel message.
Yeah. Well, and that is where the historic entanglement of Christian gospel with empire, right? Which is very, very, very old, but born in a new way in America. Where, I mean, with my Christian privilege lens, right? Mm-hmm. Like often forget, if you are not Christian, your chance of becoming president is like, right? I mean, like,
it does narrow.
This nation is not going to elect. I mean, I hope someday, right? But at this point, it's almost unfathomable to imagine the voting population of this country embracing someone who is not Christian as leader of the country.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. So while we are, quote, you know, separation of church and state, you're absolutely right to observe what is the dominant, right? Like religion in power. And that is one of my deepest places of grief as a Christian, I think, is there's almost a part of me when we talk about the Christian institution starting to lose its grip in the United States. And like, what if the institution dies and all these things? The part of me that wants the institution to die is to sever the relationship with empire. If the institution passed away and there was an opportunity for rebirth, it would have to come from the ground up and we would have lost the institutional power of empire. And I think in that context, the kind of strife that we're seeing on a national level right now would also have to disappear. Because this religious battle that you're describing, right, of like watching this election and thinking this is about power and where we locate power's relationship with morality, perhaps, or whatever it is. I mean, yeah, I hear that and I'm like, this isn't the way it's supposed to work, right? This isn't the way. This is not what I want to see. And this is not the way that I want to see. Well, I don't want to see Christianity used at all, right? But like, it hurts, yeah. Right? It hurts to see this and draws me back into that question and your question of like, when did this happen? When did we fall into this level of divide? And what is the responsibility of the quote unquote one body of Christ, such as it is, to take responsibility about how dismembered and fractured we are? I don't have an answer.
it's a lot. You're right. And I wanted to unpack this so much because it's just enmesh in the U.S. history, you know, it's like, woo. So final, you have any more final words for us?
I think kind of where I've landed in messaging with my students about this is one, like, I think many people, not only students, are feeling this to some degree or another, mm-hmm. right? So whether you are, you know, in your late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, or whether you're 40, 50, or 60, many people are feeling kind of shook on some level. Mm-hmm. And is asking these questions. And in that way, it feels like a really fertile time to me. I don't want it to go to waste, mm-hmm, right? This mm-hmm. is like engendering a lot of very thoughtful questions and opportunities to plug in with community organizers who have actually directions to point us in, right? Mm-hmm. For those of us who have these questions.
That's true.
There are people who they're like, oh my God, this is my life's work. Find me, right? This is my moment. I can shine.
This is my moment.
I'm here for you. And so try to be thoughtful myself, right? Of like in this very fertile time of my own disillusionment and hope and questioning and all these things all mixed up in one, where are the people that I'm going to turn to help direct that energy and make it a useful energy and mm-hmm. not just one that sort of flounders around in my fishbowl and then dies. That's my last.
All right. We'll end there.
No, you better say something.
We're going to end on that. No, I don't have a lot. This is like much of 2020, this is an eye opener. I think it's broken. There's a lot of brokenness, and I just like spiritual brokenness,
yeah.
but political brokenness. And I think this has unearthed that
yeah.
before we could say, oh, let's get back to the norm status quo. And having a leader who wasn't status quo, but maybe getting to one who might be, I think people are going to be holding him more accountable because of who has preceded him mm-hmm. and the huge, huge responsibility, not just as president, but having to fix the fracture that's come and only gotten more deep and wide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kudos, though, to Kamala Harris. You know, got it first. So,
yay.
I mean, there is something to celebrate.
Yes,
I mean, as much as doom and gloom there is surrounding this, we have someone who represents, who checks a lot of boxes, mm-hmm. represents a lot of people. First generation, female, Black, South Asian, stepmom, late in life, got married late in life, didn't have kids.
A spouse who's Jewish.
I mean, she's yeah. checking all these boxes.
Yeah.
So as a representative, maybe we couldn't have chosen a better person, regardless of if you agree with her politics or her previous track record as top cop in California. She has a overwhelming amount of diverse experiences. A shout out to HBCUs also, by the way, Howard University. I went to Morris Brown College. I mean, U of O is great, but
I gotta give
those shout outs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I land.
Yeah.
Today, the musical talent that we'll be highlighting is Jody Joe. Jody Joe comes from Los Angeles, and we'll be hearing his song, Hard Heart. A hard heart.
So thank you all for tuning in to this episode of That's What She Said. I'm Terilyn Lawson.
I'm Claire Yosef Meyer.
See you next time. Or
see you next time.
You'll hear us next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but it's about 3,000 times hotter in here. So you know we gotta act right. Yeah, can't have no hard heart, hard head. Yeah, I don't understand why we just do this to ourselves. Life can be so peaceful, friend. Yeah, all we gotta do is love each other. Yeah. What it is, what it ain't. Keep it gallon in the tank. I ain't talking about no whip, talking about my little life, so the ship don't sink. Some folk cope with a drink. Some folk cope in the mall. Yeah. Some shoot ball, some fall. Some don't cope at all, just stall like a llama hind. Pause. Or bathroom wall, gonna throw your ish, I'ma throw my pose. I don't need no issues, just that simple, but if you impose, I'ma miss Foxy Tippy, Beyonce, scared straight up, I'm waiting at the door. like the UPS, why the you be stressed? You be headed from a farm. I'm loving my life, love yours. Yeah, that's what my brother Cole said, along with my brother Andre. So why you trying to keep the coast low? Why you trying to change the whole game? Yeah, why you gotta bend these rules? Why you can't play your role? Most folks just don't know.
I know my heart is not pure all the time, but I try, Lord, to keep a clean heart. I know I've made my circumstances, but Lord, I pray you can save my heart. Hard-headed, hearted, wounded, guarded, early, morning, already getting started. Ignorant, hearted, ignorant, started, removed, garbage, yeah. You, garbage. Hard-headed, hearted, wounded, guarded, early, morning, already getting started.
Yeah, it got me feeling like mama and them. I'm a pole, I'm for real. Hard head make it have a soft behind. Hard heart make a partner wanna kill. Backpack packed with a firearm. Schoolyard scarred cause of violent children. Black neighborhoods getting gunned at home. Cause crooked little cops got a heart of steel.
Still,
let it go. And vibe with these metaphors. Surviving this life with my insurance. And hiding my eye from the predators. You never know when the telephone. Yeah, gone ring talking about your daughter got raped. And your son got shot by a crooked little racist behind police off a boat. Everyone capable. Taking a life but can't taint the soul. Even my sweet little Gemini can turn my whole life into painted clothes. Through the ill will, that's really real. Like, place do you feel it feel? Even I could kill me a partner if I let my heart get too willing ill.
I know my heart is not pure all the time, but I try, Lord, to keep a clean heart. I know I made my circumstances, but Lord, I pray you can save my heart. Hard-headed, hearted, wounded, guarded, early, morning, already getting started. Ignorant, hearted, ignorant, started. Removed, garbage, you, garbage. Hard-headed, hearted, wounded, guarded, early, morning, already getting started. Ignorant, hearted, ignorant, started. Removed, garbage, you, garbage. I got hatred on my state of mind.
Hatred on my mind.
And you can't tell me nothing. You garbage. I got hatred on my state of mind.